The Great Bear is looking so geometrical, one would think that something or other could be proved. Are you sad, Richard?
Certainly.
I also. I've been cast adrift on a raft of melancholy. The night wind passed me like a sail across a blind man's eye. There it is, the interminable tumbling of the great gray mane of moonlight, washing over the little oyster shell of this month of April, among the raven quills of the shadows and on the white pillows of men asleep. The night's a pale pasture land of peace. Something condones the world incorrigibly. But what, in fact, is this vaporous charm? We are softened by a nice conglomeration of the earth's uneven surface, refraction of light, obstruction of light, condensation, distance, and that sappy upshot of self-centered vegetabilism, the trees of the garden. How is it that we come to see this as a heaven in the eye? Why should we hawk and spit our ecstasy as though we were nightingales and call these quite casual degrees and differences beauty? What guile recommends the world and gives our eyes a special sense to be deluded above all animals? Stone me, Richard, I've begun to talk like that soulless girl, and she may at this moment be talking like me. I shall go into the garden to wring a solution out of the sulky shadows, a way to help her escape.
To hear her, you would think her feet had almost left the ground. The evening, which began so blackly, now as though it were a kettle set over her flame, has started to sing. And all the time I find myself praying under my breath that something will save her.
You might do worse. Tides turn with a similar sort of whisper.
Richard.
Alison.
I've come to be with you.
Oh, not with me. I'm the to-and-fro fella tonight. You have to be with Humphrey.
I think I have never met Humphrey. I have met him less and less the more I have seen him.
You will forgive me. I've been mousing for a small Dutch owl. If it has said ter-woo, ter-wise, it has said it a thousand times.
Hey, Thomas! Ah, well. The crickets are singing well with their legs tonight.
It sounds as though the night air is riding on a creaking settle.
You must go back to the others.
Let me stay. I'm not able to love them. They're dark and cruel. Have you forgotten what they mean to do tomorrow? Have you forgotten that they're going to burn her?
How could I forget? But there are laws, and if someone fails them...
I shall run away from laws if laws can't live in the heart. I shall be gone tomorrow.
You make the room suddenly cold. Where will you go?
Where will you come to find me?
Huh. Oh, look, you've pulled the thread in your sleeve. Is it honest for me to believe you would be unhappy?
When?
If you marry Humphrey.
Humphrey's a winter in my head. But whenever my thoughts are cold and I lay them against Richard's name, they seem to rest on the warm ground where summer sits as golden as a humblebee. So I did very little but think of you until I ran out of the room.
Do you come to me only because you can never love the others?
Our Father God moved many lives to show you to me. I think that is the way it must have happened. It was complicated, but very kind.
Well, if I asked you if you could ever love me, I should know for certain that I was no longer rational.
I love you quite as much as I love St. Anthony, and rather more than I love St. John Chrysostom.
But putting halos on one side, as a man could you love me, Alison?
I have become a woman, Richard, because I love you. I know I was a child 3 hours ago, and yet I love you as deeply as many years could make me, but less deeply than many years will make me.
I think I may never speak steadily again. What have I done or said to make it possible that you should love me?
Everything I have loved before has come to one meeting place in you. And you have gone out into everything I love.
Well, happiness seems to be weeping in me, as I suppose it should, being newly born.
We must never leave each other, Richard, or else we should perplex the kindness of God.
The kindness of God in itself is not a little perplexing. What are we to do?
We cleave to each other, Richard. That is what is proper for us to do.
But you were promised a Humphrey, Alison, and I'm hardly more than a servant here tied to my own apron strings. They'll never let us love each other.
Then they will have to outwit all that ever went to create us.
So they will. I believe it. Let them storm. We're lovers in a deep and safe place and never lonely anymore. Alison, shall we make the future, however much it roars, lie down with our happiness? Are you ready to forego custom and escape with me?
Shall we go now before anyone prevents us?
I'll take you to the old priest who first found me. He's as near to being my father as putting his hand into a poor box could make him. He'll help us. Oh, Alison, I so love you. Now let yourself quietly out and wait for me somewhere near the gate, but in a shadow. I must fetch my savings.
Oh.
Are you afraid?
In some part of me, not all. And while I wait, I will have a word with the Saints Teresa and Christopher. They may have some suggestions.
Yes, yes, do that. Now, like a mouse. Only let me spell no disillusion for her. Safety, peace, and a good world. As good as she has made it.
Now, Richard, have you found Mr. Tyson?
Yes, he's busy with his conviction.
He's no business to be busy now. How am I to prevent this girl, condemned as a heretic, from charming us with gentleness, consideration, and gaiety? It makes orthodoxy seem almost irrelevant. Where is Alison?
The poor
child has run away to cry. See if you can find her, will you, Richard?
I have to.
Oh, very well. I'll go in search of the sad little soul myself. Oh, dear, I could do with a splendid holiday in a complete vacuum.
Are you tired of us?
Why on earth can't you stop following her?
Stop following me.
I'm troubled to find Thomas Mendip.
He's far gone, as mad as the nature of man.
As rude and crude as an act of God. He'll burn your house.
So he has. Are you kind to mention burning?
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Is it possible he still might make for death even on this open-hearted night?
Who might?
Thomas Mendip is sick of the world. Well, the world has a right to him.
You're just the fellow, Richard. We need some more canary, say 5 bottles more. And before we go in, we'll drink here privately to beauty and the somber, sultry waters where beauty haunts.
I have to find...
5 bottles of canary. I'll come with you and help you bring them, quick, before our mother calls us back to evaporate into duty.
You have bewitched me, but not by sense of new-mown hell. For all I know, you may have had some byplay with the devil. And your eyes may well be violets in a stealthy wood where souls are lost. If so, you will agree the fire is fair as fair goes. You have to burn.
It's hard to live last hours as the earth deserves. Must you bring closer the time when as night yawns under my feet I shall be cast away into the chasm of dawn? I'm tired with keeping my thoughts clear of that birch.
But need you? These few hours of the night might be lived in a way which wouldn't end in fire.
Must we talk of this?
But listen. Will you listen? I am able to save you. Since all official action may be given official hesitation. I happen to be on the council, and a dozen reasons may be found to postpone the moment of execution. And once postponed, a great congestion of quibbles may be let loose over the council table.
Oh, hope can break the heart, Humphrey. Hope can be too strong.
But this is true, actual, as my body is. And as for that, now impartially, look what I risk. If in any way you've loosened the straps which hold in place our fairly workable wings of righteousness, and they say you have, then my status both in this town and the afterlife will be gone if either suspect me of having helped you. I have to be given a considerable reason for risking that.
I fondly hope I'm beginning to misconstrue you.
Later on, tonight, when they've all gone small into their beauty sleep, I'll procure the key and come to your cell. Is that agreeable?
Is it so to you? Aren't you building your castles in foul air?
Foul, no. It's give and take, the basis of all understanding.
Oh, you mean you give me a choice to sleep with you or tomorrow to sleep with my father's? And if I value the gift of life, which, dear heaven, I do, I can scarcely refuse.
Well, isn't that sense?
Admirable sense, so why am I not sensible? Oddly enough, I hesitate. Can I so dislike being cornered by a young lecher that I would rather die?
Now, please, we're not going to confuse the soul and the body. This speaking bodily is merely an exchange of compliments.
And surely throwing away my life for the sake of pride would seem to heaven a bodily blasphemy. Suicide.
Even if heaven were interested... Or even if you cared for heaven. Am I unattractive to you?
Except that you have the manners of a sparrow hawk, and with less reason, no. You're not. But I would no more run to your arms than I would run to my death, and I ask myself why. Surely I can't be mesmerized by some snake of chastity.
Now, this isn't the time.
Don't speak contemptible, boy. I tell you, I am not. We have to look elsewhere. For instance, into my heart, where recently I heard begin a bell of longing that calls no one to church. But need that ringing anyway in vain drown the milkmaid singing in my blood and freeze into the tolling of my knell? That would be pretty indeed, but unproductive. No, it's not that.
Janet, before they return and interrupt
us... I'm interested in my feelings. I seem to wish to have some importance in the play of time. If not, then sad was my mother's pain, sad my breath, sad the articulation of my bones, sad my alacritous web of nerves, woefully, woefully sad my wandering brain, to be shaped and sharpened into such tendrils of anticipation, to feed the swamp of space. What is deep as love is deep, I'll have deeply. What is good as love is good, I'll have well. Then if time and space have any purpose, I shall belong to them. If not, if all is a pretty fiction to distract the cherubim and seraphim who so continually do cry, the least I can do is to fill the curled shell of the world with human deep sea sound and hold it to the ear of God till he has appetite to taste our salt sorrow on his lips. So you see, it might be better to die. On the other hand, I admit it might be immensely foolish. This? What can all that thundering in the cellars be?
I don't know at all. You're simply playing for time. Why on earth can't you answer me before I'm thrown by the bucking of my pulse? Before Nicholas returns to interrupt us, will it be all right?
Doesn't my plight seem pitiable to you?
Pitiable, yes. It makes me long for you intolerably. Now be a saint and tell me I may come to your cell.
I wish I could believe my freedom were not in the flames. Oh, God, I wish the ground would open.
Allow me to open it for you. Admit I was right. Man's a mistake. Lugworms, the lot of us.
Wipe your filthy boots before you start trespassing.
And as for you, I'll knock your apple blossom back into the roots of the tree of knowledge where you got it from.
Oh, dear, is this lugworms at war? And by what right you tell me to you with your long ears come moralizing in?
If he wants to fight me, let him. Come out into the garden. Whatever happens, I'll have one bash at him. Which, next to this other thing, is the one most desirable act in the world. If he kills me, you and I, the day after tomorrow, can improve the deadly hours of the grave by thrashing out the rights and wrongs of it. Only remember, I thought you unfairly beautiful, and to balance your sins, you should be encouraged, for heaven's sake, to spend your beauty in a proper way, on someone who knows its worth.
Sound the trumpets.
Oh, yes, why not, and a roll of drums. You, if you remember, failed even to give me a choice. You only said, die, woman, and look as though you like it. So you'll agree, this can hardly be said to concern you.
All right, you've done your worst. You forced me to tell you the disastrous truth. I love you. A misadventure so intolerable, hell could do no more. Nothing in the world could touch me, and you have to come and be the damnable exception. I was nicely tucked up for the night of eternity, and like the restless dream of a fool's paradise, you with a rainbow where your face is, and an ignis fatuus worn like a rose at your girdle, have to come pursued by fire, and presto, the bedclothes are on the floor, and I, the tomfool, love you. Don't say again this doesn't concern me, or I shall say you needn't concern yourself with tomorrow's burning.
You know what that little idiot Richard did? He locked me in the cellars.
Don't complicate the situation. I love you, perfectly knowing you're nothing but a word out of the mouth of that same planet of almighty blemish which I long to leave. But the word is an arrow of lark's song, shot from the earth's bow and falling in a stillborn sunrise. I shall lie in my grave with my hands clapped over my ears to stop your music from riddling me as much as the meddling worms. Still, that's beside the point. We have to settle this other matter.
Yes, I was telling you, I went into the cellars to get the wine and the door swung after me and that little son of a crossbow turned the key.
Couldn't we find somewhere to talk where there isn't quite so much insect life?
And there I was in cobwebs up to my armpits, hammering the door and yelling like a slaughterhouse till the cook came and let me out. Where is he?
Oh, what should we talk of? You mean to be hanged? Am I to understand that your tongue-tied dust will slip a ring on the finger of my ashes and we'll both die happily ever after? Surely his other suggestion, though more conventional, has fewer flaws.
But you said, like a ray of truth itself, that you'd rather burn.
My heart, my mind would rather burn, but may not the casting vote be with my body? Is the body necessarily always ill-advised?
Something has happened since I made the descent into those hellish cobwebs. I'm adrift. What is it?
Let me speak to her. You destroyed my defenses, the laborious contrivance of ours, the precious pair of you. Oh, Janet, Janet, you should have let me go before I confessed a word of this damned word, love. I'll not reconcile myself to a dark world for the sake of 5'6" of wavering light, for the sake of a woman who goes no higher than my bottom lip.
I'll strip and fly my shirt at the masthead unless someone picks me up. What has been going on?
Ask that neighing horsebox kicker there, your matchless brother.
Ah, Humphrey, darling, have there been some official natural instincts?
I've had enough. The whole thing's become unrecognizable.
Have I a too uncertain virtue to keep you on the earth?
I ask nothing, nothing. Stop barracking my heart. Save yourself his way if you must. I shall always have your moment of hesitation, which I shall chalk all over the walls of purgatory. Never mind that loving you, I've trodden the garden threadbare, trying to complete a way to save you.
If you plan to save me without wishing to save yourself, you might have saved your trouble.
I imagine it's all over with us, Humphrey. I shall go and lie with my own thoughts and conceive reciprocity. Mm. Come on, you boy of gloom, the high seas for us.
Go and drown yourself and take me with you.
There's no need to drown, we'll take the tails off mermaids.
Have any of you seen that poor child, Alison? I think she must be lost.
Who isn't? The best thing we can do is to make wherever we're lost in look as much like home as we can. And don't be worried, she can't be more lost than she was with us.
I can't marry her, Mother. Oh. Could you think of something else to do with her?
I think Humphrey has been improperly making a proper suggestion, Mother. He wishes to be drowned.
They find it impossible to concentrate. Have you seen the little fair-haired girl?
He wishes to be hanged.
Have you hidden the child?
She wishes to be burned rather than sleep with my brother.
She should be thankful she can sleep at all. For years I've woken up every quarter of an hour. Oh, I must sit down. I'm too tired to know what anybody's saying.
We have come back.
I want to talk to you. Who locked me in the cellars?
Alison, where have you been?
We came across old Skips.
We were running away. We wanted to be happy.
Skips?
The body of old Skips? I'd better find Tabacum.
Alison, what do you mean, running away?
We had to come back, you see, because nobody will be able to burn her now. Nobody now will be able to say she turned him into a dog.
He's rather drunk. Shall I bring him in?
Yes.
He'd been to see his daughter.
Meanwhile, shall we, as two inquisitive women, ask this man to admit he did no murders?
You think not?
I know. There was a soldier discharged and sent to list with a towering pride in his sensibility and an endearing disposition to be a hero, wanted to make an example of himself to all erring mankind, and falling in with a witch hunt, his good heart took the opportunity of providing a diversion.
Mother, we won't listen to this girl. She's jealous because of my intimate relations with Damnation. But Damnation knows I love her.
It's so unusual for anything not to be extraordinary that I'm sure what you both say is perfectly true.
What's all this I'm told? I was hoping to hang on my bow for the rest of the evening, ripe and undisturbed. What is it? Murder, not a fabrication, after all?
Well, who will bother to hang you now?
Come in, Mr. Skips.
Your young gentleman says come in. So I comes in. He's only to say buzz off, and I goes without argument.
It looks uncommonly to me as though someone's been tampering with the evidence. Are you the rag and bone merchant of this town, name of Matthew Skips?
Who give me that name? Me grandfathers and me grandmothers and all in authority under him. Baptized I blaming was. And I says to use, baptized I am. And I says to use, baptized I will be, with holy weeping and washing of teeth. And immersion upon us, miserable offenders all. No offense meant. And if any of you's not a miserable offender, as you still to be, by almighty and miserable God, then I says to him, hands off my daughter, you bloody-minded heathen.
All right, all right.
And I'm not quarreling, mind, I'm not quarreling. Peace on earth and good tall women. And give us our trespassers, as trespassers will be prosecuted for us. I'm not perfect, mind, but I'm as good a miserable offender as any man here present. Ladies accepted.
Hey, Matt, aren't you forgetting yourself? You're dead. You've been dead for hours.
Dead? Well, you take my breath away. Do I begin to stink then?
You do.
Fair enough. That's cooperation. I'm among the blessed saints.
He floats in the heaven of the grape. Someone take him home to his hovel.
Alleluia. 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 Alleluia.
Now stop that, Skips. Keep your hosannas for the cold light of morning, or we shall lock you up.
Alleluia.
Richard shall take this old man home. Richard... Where is Richard? Where's Alison? Gone again?
Yes, Humphrey's future wife, blown clean away.
As it was in the beginning, ever and ever, amen, alleluia, alleluia.
Take this old man to his home. Now you've made him think he's dead, we'll never have any peace.
Nor shall we when he's gone.
Spread your wings, Matthew, we're going to teach you to fly.
I has the respect to ask to sit down. You's blessed saints don't realize. It takes it out of you, this life everlasting. Alleluia, alleluia.
That's more pleasant.
That poor child, Alison, she's too young to go throwing herself under the wheels of happiness. She should have wrapped up warmly first. Hebel must know in any case. I must tell him.
What's to be the end of you? I take it the male prisoner is sufficiently deflated not to plague us with his person any longer.
Deflated? I'm overblown with the knowledge of my villainy.
Your guilt, my boy, is a confounded bore. The woman prisoner may notice, without my mentioning it, that there's a certain mildness in the night, a kind of somnolent inattention. If she wishes to return to her cell, no one can object. On the other hand, how very empty the streets must be just now. You will forgive a yawn in an overworked and elderly man. The moon is full, of course. To leave the town unobserved, one would have to use caution. As for me, I shall go and be a burden to my bed. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. So much for me.
Thomas, only another 50 years or so, and I promise to let you go.
Do you see those roofs and spires? There sleep hypocrisy, porcus pomposity, greed, lust, vulgarity, cruelty, trickery, sham, and all possible nitwittery. Are you suggesting 50 years of that?
I was only suggesting 50 years of me.
Girl, you haven't changed the world. Glimmer as you will, the world's not changed. I love you, but the world's not changed. Perhaps I might draw you up over my eyes for a time, but the world sickens me still.
Well, do you think your gesture of death is going to change it? Except for me?
Oh, the unholy man-trap of love.
I put on my own gown again, otherwise everything that is familiar, my house, my poodle, peacock, and possessions, I have to leave. The world is looking frozen and forbidding under the moon, but I must be out of this town before daylight comes, and somewhere, or who knows where, begin again.
Brilliant. So you fall back on the darkness to defeat me. You gamble on the possibility that I was well brought up. And of course you're right. I have to see you home. Though neither of us knows where on earth it is.
Can you mean to let the world go on?
I know my limitations. When the landscape goes to seed, the wind is obsessed by tomorrow.
I shall have to hurry. That was the pickaxe voice of the cock beginning to break up the night. Am I an inconvenience to you?
As inevitable as original sin. And I shall be loath to forego one day of you. Even for the sake of my ultimate friendly death.
Well, I'm friendly too.
Then let me wish us both good morning. And God have mercy on our souls.